those who are sincere about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Each and every day that we all wake up, we have an opportunity to represent our Savior, the one who died for each and every one of our sins. And I pray that through the course of your day, everywhere you go, the Lord directs that you represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through your actions, through your words, through your deeds, in every way that we represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, my good friend and brother in Christ, Pastor Keith Shaw, is out of town. And we pray, and we also know that he's doing exactly what I just mentioned. Wherever he is, I can almost guarantee you that he's representing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wherever he is. And I pray that we do the same. This is an opportunity for me to come before you this morning and to remove myself and open the Word of God and let God do the teaching and do the preaching and do all of the input in our lives. Because as we know, we're nothing. Or if we don't know that, I know that I'm nothing. And Christ is everything. And if you see, hear or see anything ultimately good in Lamar, it's not me, but the Spirit that lives inside me. Amen? So with all of that said, let me pray, and let's get ready to get into the Word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. You know what's on the hearts of your people, Lord. You know what we all need to hear. You know that there are no coincidences in life, Lord. Everyone that's here today was supposed to be here. And those that are not here were not supposed to be here. For you're a sovereign God, and everything that is done decently and in order, Lord. And I pray that your Spirit come and deliver the message that you set forth, Lord, today, in Jesus' name. I ask that we all continue to be humble and open our hearts to your word, Lord, and understand that it is your word and not the opinion or viewpoint of a man, but your words. And if we give any allegiance, we give allegiance unto you. And if we have any thing that we don't agree with, we have to take it up with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that said, I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. The way that the Lord has me share the gospel is that we're going to turn a lot of places today. So I pray that you are a serious Bible student. And I pray that you're familiar with your Bible and know where to turn. If not, we'll help you. Amen? But Hebrews chapter 4, when you get it, say amen. Okay, we're going to start reading at verse 12 through 13. And it says, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of the soul and spirit and the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Today, we're going to be talking about the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible says that there are three that bear witness in heaven. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says in the book of John, 1 John chapter 5, I believe between verses 5 through 8, it says this. It also reads that there's three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. We understand that Jesus Christ is actually the Word of God. The entire book that we have in our hands is Jesus Christ. Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, all that Moses and the prophets wrote of, they wrote of my coming. It was all about me. And when he came, all of the New Testament are his words, which he gave unto his apostles to share with us. So this entire book is Jesus Christ. How many of us say we love the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. These are his words. The word of God is Jesus Christ. So we're going to be talking about the word of God today. So let's take a good look at verse 12. Look what it says. It says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing sunder of the soul and spirit, and a joint and a marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Won't you take a minute and think about that? It says, if you open this book and you pray to God for understanding through the Holy Spirit, and you begin to read the contents of this book, it's going to be powerful. It's going to be quick. It's going to quicken you. It's going to be powerful. It's going to cut deep inside your soul and spirit. And it's going to bring about a change. It's going to discern the thoughts of your own very heart. The intents of your own heart. It's one of the reasons a lot of people don't want to open the Bible. Because they'll actually see themselves. And we don't want to see ourselves. I today would like to encourage you to take that journey and delve into the word of God so that you do see. Because once we know there's a problem, then we can fix the problem. Amen? Now look what it says here in verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom with whom we have to do. You can't hide anything from God anyway. He says all things are naked and open unto him. Many of you get up every morning, you look in the mirror, and you see, you know, you got to get out of the shower and you see. You see everything. You see everything you don't like, and you see everything you do like. This is what the word of God will do to us if we tend to get into it. We'll get into the word, and the word of God is the means to bring about a change. So when we get into this Bible, we need to understand that the word of God is not just any book that we pick up like we're going to a library or we're in college and we learn the contents of it and now we're somehow further more educated than somebody else. This book actually brings a lot of change in the individual. It's not about the knowing where the scriptures are or how many books are in the Bible and all that. That's irrelevant. Is it bringing about a change in your life? This word is to bring about a change in our lives. Amen? Look what it says. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. When you get there, say amen. Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. When you have it, say amen. Okay. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and 45. A minute ago, we just read that this Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your own heart. Look what it says here. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and 45. And it reads, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doeth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Y'all see that? The Bible says it discerns the thoughts and the intent of your own heart. So you start reading something in the Bible and it says, thou shalt not fornicate. And it makes you angry or it makes you feel bad or it makes you feel... Why do you think you're getting that result? Because it's telling you about yourself. This is the only book that will pull your clothes off
and show you yourself butt naked. And you might not like what you see. But that's not a bad thing.
As we continue in our today's study, it's important that we see these things. Because the Bible says, no fornicator shall enter the kingdom of God. No idolater, no liar, no effeminate.
No, it says none of these people are going to walk into the kingdom of God.
It doesn't say the ones that say they believe in the Lord Jesus and continue to do these things are going to walk in.
It says no one shall enter. Amen?
So if it says none of us that are still continuing to operate this way, then we need to spend more time in this so that we can see what it is that we're doing is not acceptable to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then turn from our wicked ways. And the Bible will do that. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will cut deep into the soul and the spirit, and it will bring about a change to those that are not afraid to crack it open and take the journey. Amen? Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. This is one of the examples that I want to use. Matthew chapter 19, when you got to say amen. This is an example of the word showing a person their intent of their heart. This is an example. This is Jesus Christ talking to the rich young ruler. Okay? You got to say amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. And it reads, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. The young man says, he says unto him, which commandments? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy mother and father, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man says unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He said to himself, I'm good. I got all that stuff. I've been doing all that since I've been a little boy. Okay? I got that part covered. But he's talking to the Word of God himself, and he doesn't know that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your own heart. Look what happens next. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. So what can we conclude? What was in the heart of this young man? Greed, money, worldly things. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. So although he had these other things together, the Word of God still was a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of his very own heart and showed of himself. And unlike a person that's going to make it into the kingdom of God, he dropped his head and walked away. That's not a bad thing. Maybe later he was convicted, sold all he had, and came and caught up with Jesus. I pray that did happen. And I pray that's what happened with us. We don't get it right on the first time. Jesus comes to us sometimes and we drop our head and we walk away because we didn't like what we saw. This man didn't like what he saw himself. He said, man, I love my money, dude. I love you, Jesus, but I love my money. I love my money. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about the Word of God. The Word of God, what it does, what it brings about a change in our lives, why it's important that we read it, why it's important that we study it, why it's important that we do it each and every day. The Bible says,
take the words of this book and meditate on them day and night. Not I read a little bit, you know, this week.
No. I'm not criticizing you. Praise God you read that little bit. But it's going to have to get a lot better for God to give us to discern what's in our thoughts and the intents of our heart, so that he can continue to change us and make us into the will, the image of his son, so that he can welcome us into the kingdom. Amen. Ain't that what we all want? We want to be said by God, well done, thou faithful servant, to come upon the day of judgment. We don't want to be told, get from in front of me, ye that work iniquity. I don't even know you. That's not what we're here for. We're here to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. I'm not going to keep you long. This is just getting this, and we're going to let the word say what it say, and then we'll walk out of here with whatever we need to walk out of here with. Amen. Book of James, chapter 1. Book of James, chapter 1. When you get it, say amen. Amen. We're going to read verses 13 through 15. Look what it says here. It says, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see what we get from the word of God? We look at him, we get it straightforward. Right? We get punched right in the mouth by Jesus Christ. We can't walk around, we can't sugarcoat it. When any man is tempted, let him be wise enough to understand that you are not tempted by God. Because God can't be tempted with evil. Ain't that what we just read? He can't be tempted with evil. So you're not tempted with evil, but look what it does say. The Bible says the word of God is sharper, and it cuts down to your soul and your spirit and tells you about yourself. So it says, look, he says, I'm going to discern what's in your heart. And it says, if any man is drawn away, verse 14, look what it says. It says, but if any man is tempted, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see that? His own lust and enticed. So what's in your heart is what's causing you to sin. So how do we change that? We learn by God what should not be in our hearts, and then we learn how to continue to submit. I love that song you were singing earlier about surrendering. The Bible says, let us submit our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what you're here for anyway. We're not asking you for nothing hard. We're not asking you to do something that you shouldn't be doing anyway. God says this is what you're here for anyway. Submit your body to living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, he says. And if you do this, I'll show you where you got it wrong, and then I'll help you come out of it, and then I'm going to give you a big hug when it's all said and done. I want my big hug, amen? I want my big hug. Turn with me to stay in James. Just come down to verse 19 through 25. And it reads, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man's works, not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he is not a, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So, I wanted to take a real close look at what it says here. It says, look at verse 20, we're going to go back and look at verse 23. Look what it says. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Many of you in your books, it says mirror, correct? Okay. Again, what are we talking about today? The word of God. The word of God is like looking into a mirror. It's like looking into a mirror. When you read the contents of the pages of this book, you're seeing who? Yourself. You are seeing yourself. One way or the other. Good or bad, you're seeing yourself. You may see yourself in Pharaoh. You may see yourself in hopefully in Jesus or one of the disciples. You may see yourself in Peter. You may see yourself, but you're seeing yourself. Amen? The Bible says, looking into here is like beholding your natural face in a mirror. So when we read this Bible, the Word of God, we're seeing ourselves. Early we read, it's a discerner of your own heart. The thoughts and the intents of your own heart comes out when you read this book. So we look in here and we see our natural face. You see a blemish, man, I don't like that. You know, look at that. My face is breaking out today, you know? I got an ingrown hair for the guys or whatever, or for the females or whatever is going on. I don't like that. I'm looking in the mirror. I don't like it. How many people have looked in this book and they see things they don't like? I don't like it. I look at me, I say, Lord, have mercy. Keep having mercy on this sinful person. Help me change. Teach me to shut my mouth if I need to. Teach me to be slow to speak. Teach me your word. Teach me your ways. I want to live like you. This is what this Bible does to us. That's why I encourage us to continue to stay in it. Let's go on. Let's look what it says. It says, you see your natural face, and then it says, verse 24, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forget what manner of man he was. People read this thing, they see themselves, they see what's wrong, close, and go right back to what they're doing. Oh Lord, have mercy. That's everything. You see it. You see God says, I'm not satisfied with that. You're looking right at yourself. You see what I see in you. Earlier we read that God says he sees you're naked to him. Everything is open. You ain't hiding nothing anyway. You walk around with no clothes on like in the Garden of Eden. He sees everything. You're not hiding anything. So we look into this perfect law. We look into this word and you see that. You see your natural faith. Close it and go about your business, living your life the way you continue. That's scary. But the good thing is, God will reach you and he'll get your attention and you'll learn to not close this book and walk around. Continue to do what you're doing. Amen? I'm spending a little time here because these scriptures right here are just so powerful. They got so much in them. You can't leave them. Just can't just read them and leave. Look at verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. I love what God calls the word of God. He calls the book, the word of God, the Holy Bible, the perfect law of liberty. Whoever looks into this book, the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, if you stay in this book, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Ain't that great news? If you continue, you look into this mirror, you see those blemishes, it doesn't discourage you where you want to close it and go about your business, or get scared and you know, or justify your stupidity. justify your deeds, but you say, I don't like it. I agree with you, Jesus Christ. I don't like it either. Help me. Let's change it. He says, if you continue therein, then it says, and be not a forgetful hearer of what you just read, but a doer of it, this person shall be blessed in his deeds. We always talking about being blessed. How many people want to be blessed? Let's stay in here then, okay? Stay in here, and you'll be blessed. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 through 13 is what we're going to look at. Now we're going to look at why we are afraid to look into this mirror. That's what we're going to look at. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 through 13. Look what it says. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, it's not. I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taketh occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin is dead. For I was alive with the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taketh occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. And then that which is good made death unto me. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now, that's a mouthful, right? So let's go back and look at it. Side effect a little bit. We're not going to look at each verse. We're going to just look at certain parts real quick. First of all, we're going to look at, it says, look at verse 7. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Is this book sin? Because earlier we just talked about it, it's a discerning of the heart. We look at it, it's like, man, I don't want to look at it then. I don't want to see that. That's bad. I don't want to see that. So some people might be discouraged to look into this book, and most people are discouraged to look in this book because they don't like the fact that, you know, then it's showing me my sin. I don't like it. So it says, is the law then sin? It says, God forbid. It is not sin. Nay, I had not known sin, bless you, but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Remember what we were talking about earlier? We're talking about the word of God today. If we don't look into this book, how do you know what you're doing is wrong? Huh? Because according to this world, everything knows. I saw two little boys on the bus the other day with their fingernails polished and their toenails polished with sandals on, with a man purse, 11 and 12 years old. This world, everything goes. So how do we know what's wrong if we don't look in this? Amen? Man continues to come up with the reason to justify every little wrong thing they want to do. It's a gay gene. Now, you know, I'm born that way. Huh? And I'm not thinking on that. I'm just saying in general, just all the different things. Come on now. If we don't look in here, how are you going to know? You ain't going to get it nowhere else. The world's going to tell you, hey, if you like it, I love it. It's good. Do it. Sounds good to me. Go for it. Hey, man, I was thinking about, you know, having a genocide over in Africa and chopping a bunch of people up because, you know, I'm angry right now. They got more money than us. We're going to cut them all up. Go for it. That's the world we live in. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. So we look into the perfect law of liberty, and we see what's wrong. We see what's wrong in us, more importantly. Not the rest of the world. We see what's wrong in us. We're going to see what's wrong in us. So it says here, look in there. He says, I wouldn't even have known that known of lust, except the law, the book told me that thou shalt not covet. That's the only reason he knew not to covet. Because this says, don't covet. You know? I look on TV, they got a polygamous family. The dude has 5 wives. They got a TV show about it. It's going on. And it's gaining more and more popularity every day. Marry 2 more, man. Go for it. The world says everything is okay. But the word of God will tell you the truth. Amen? Amen. And the truth will make you free. Because Christ is coming back, whether we know it or not. He's coming back, and we're going to have to give an account for everything we have done. Everything we have done. So, anyway, with that said, look down at verse 12. And it says, wherefore, the law is holy, the commandment is holy, and just and good. Because it will show you yourself. That's why it's good. Because it's in a helpful manner. It's not here to condemn you. This word is not condemning anybody. The Bible says, if any man is tempted, let him not say he's tempted of God. It's what's going on inside of you. So this Bible's not condemning you. You're condemning you. The Bible's trying to help you not be condemned. Amen? Amen. The Bible's trying to help you find Christ. Because the Bible says, all that believe on Christ is not condemned. Amen? But if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're condemned already. Already. No need, no help. The book is condemning me. No, the book isn't condemning you. You're condemning you. The book is looking to help you not be condemned. Amen? Amen. And the last verse, look what it says. It says, verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? It says, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might be exceedingly sinful. The only way that you know that you're doing is exceedingly sinful is when you look in here and the commandment lets you know the thing you're doing is exceedingly sinful. You see that? You look in here and it says, hey, you look to the perfect law of liberty and it looks back at you and says, the thing you're doing is exceedingly sinful. And you say, oh, you know, it just told me I'm exceedingly sinful. This is good because it will tell you what you're doing. It will tell you the intent and the thought. It will cut down to the thoughts and the intents of your very own heart. If you're walking around jealous of somebody, coveting after what they have, envious of their little relationship or something, you know, whatever it is that you're walking around with, this will tell you about yourself. And that's a good thing. Amen?
Amen.
All right. 1 John chapter 1. And we're almost done. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 5 through 10. We're talking about the word of God today. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Listen to what it says. This then is the message which we heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. Do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive our own selves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We see this? This is why it's important to get into the Word of God, because one, it's going to allow us to see what's wrong. You're going to see your sin. And then here's the good part. I'm going to read it again because it is so wonderful. He says, if you confess that sin. See, if you look into this perfect law of liberty and tell yourself the truth, that you don't like that blemish on your face, tell yourself the truth. Don't lie to yourself. I like my blemish. Ain't nothing wrong with my blemish. That's just me. I can keep doing this. It's okay. No, but look in that mirror. See what you see. Then tell yourself the truth. It's not good. I'm always angry at people. I walk around thinking I'm better than somebody. I got a chip on you. I'm full of pride. Whatever your problem is, it's going to tell you. But then you tell yourself the truth when you see it. You see it, then tell yourself, I see it too. I am pretty screwed up. I need that change. Something's wrong with me. This needs to be tweaked. I can't continue to live like this. Christ's not going to let me in like this. He's not letting me in like this. I'm screwed up. So when you see it, this is the good part, he says, if you're humble enough to say that you see it and you confess it to him, he's faithful to forgive you. He's faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. See why it's important to stay in this book? Because he's going to help you clean yourself up. You can get washed up in this. You can get the dirt off you when you stay in this. Then we read earlier, it says, if you continue in this perfect law of liberty, this man shall be blessed in all his deeds. Continue in this. I encourage you to read this. Meditate on it day and night. Don't become some walking dead person that just can quote all the scriptures. That don't mean nothing. That's not what I'm encouraging you to do. I'm encouraging you to read this and see yourself and tell yourself the truth when you see it. Don't take this book, walk around, and beat everybody else in the head with it. I got a theologian degree and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? And you're dead. You're going to the same place I'm going. The Bible says that many that are first are going to be last. And many that are last are going to be first. So the very person I've been preaching for a long time, if my head was big as this room and I'm walking around thinking I'm better than somebody else because God has taught me something that if he would teach you anybody, it ain't nothing special about me, he'll give it to all of you. Because he gave it to me, I'm going to walk around with a big head and I'm going to beat other people up and browbeat them.
No, you're less than me. You don't know that book. Go.
That's the problem. And the Bible says that this dummy is going to end up the same place as the person that he's condemning. You judging a prostitute and you and the prostitute are going to be sharing rooms. You judging the drug dealer, you judging the corrupt lawyer, you judging the corrupt financial planner, and you're gonna be sharing a cell with them. In eternity, you're gonna be cooking, burning up together. So, what are we talking about today? We're talking about the Word of God, and we're gonna get ready to close. Two more verses. One, two, three more verses, and we're done. John, turn to the book of John. Book of John, chapter 9. Book of John, chapter 9. St. John, chapter 9. John, chapter 9. What we're about to take a look at right now is the fear of looking into this Bible and not telling yourself the truth. And when you see that thing, it's turning around and lying to yourself. Here's the fear of it right now. John, chapter 9. Verse 39 through 41. When you got it, say amen. Look what it says. And it reads, and Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. They that see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye shall have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. What we have here is we got Jesus sitting in the company of some believers. Okay? These are believers. He's sitting with the Pharisees. Many people read the Bible, they don't understand. The Pharisees believed in God. They believed in God. They also believed in the resurrection. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, but they believed in God too. They believed in God, but they didn't believe there was a resurrection and life after death. They didn't believe there was a coming of the Messiah. But the Pharisees did. It just didn't take Jesus to be there, but they did believe in that. So therefore, we can conclude they are believers. Did they accept Jesus Christ as Lord? They did not. But they believed in a God based on the laws of Moses, and therefore they believed in God. Amen? Okay. So he's with a group of believers. And Jesus is sitting there, and he just told them that if you understood that you were blind, because he is the word, he says, I'm right here in front of you, and you can't see that what I'm telling you is one, you know what I'm telling you is correct, because in other places in the Bible, it's recorded that the Pharisees said, Lord, we know that thou art a prophet, and we know that you teach the ways of God righteousness. And if they knew he was, but yet they closed the book like we read earlier in the book of James and went about their way, continuing to do what they wanted to do. So he's sitting with a group of believers, and he says unto them, he says, they're going to ask the question, being justified, and their heads being big, and saying, are we blind too? You talking about us? I know this applies to every all the mother folk, but you can't talk about us. Huge heads, giants, scholars too, scholars, big heads. Pride has no place in the kingdom of God. The Bible says a humble man shall be exalted, but a big head fool shall be abased. Big head fool is what we're seeing.
So they're walking around, impressed with themselves, because they're scholars. And they're much better than everybody else. And what do they end up with? Jesus says, look what it says. Don't take my word for it. That Jesus says 41. He says unto them, if ye were blind, because they said they're not blind. He says, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. See that? He says, if you were humble enough to understand, when you looking across from me or looking in that book and told yourself the truth what you see, then you would have no sin. But you want to look in that book, see your mess, and justify it. That's a mistake. Look what he continues to tell them. But now ye say, we see. You're saying that you see. Therefore, your sin remains. God came in the world to remove your sins. Do you want to walk around with your sins remaining? I don't think we want our sins to remain on us, right? We want them gone. Jesus just told these scholars that your sin's going to remain on you because you're dumb and you don't get it. Look into the perfect law of liberty and let it change you. Tell yourself the truth. Read the Word of God and let the Word of God do what it does. It changes you. This book will change your entire life. This book will go inside of you and cut, it says, to the deep down to the soul and the spirit and deal with you for real and change your life if you're not afraid to take the journey. If you're not afraid to read it and immerse yourself in it. If you're not afraid of what you're going to see about yourself.
And I'm going to encourage you today, it's okay. I don't care what you see. It could be the worst, what you think or the world deems to be the worst thing that could ever be. We serve a wonderful, wonderful God. We serve a Savior that before, while you were yet sinners, He died for you. Don't let nobody in this world walk around and pitch no garbage at you. I don't care what they are. They tell you that, you know, you've done something so horrible that God will not forgive you. Don't hear that mess. We serve a God that whatever your wretched self has done, look into this perfect law and see your wretched self. Tell yourself the truth about that wretchedness. Repent. Tell Jesus Christ, help me change. Teach me your way. Help me get in this thing. Be immersed in it. Send people across my path that may know just a little bit to drop and share with me to keep me on my path to become a student myself. No one person knows everything about this book. So we don't need to get up under no just one person. Amen? God will, as Brother Jim uses all the time, supernaturally run people across your path that will help you hear and see something about this book that you didn't understand. And it will encourage you and motivate you to continue to delve deeper into it. It'll make your curiosities peak. It's going to make you want, I need to see more. I didn't see that. It's going to make you a fanatic for Jesus Christ. You want to become a fanatic for Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, those who look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein shall be blessed in all their deeds. Amen? Shall be blessed in all their deeds. Stay in this. That's what my message here today. So I'm going to end with this. I'm just going to quote these. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved unto one another? No, unto God. A workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I encourage you to become a student of the word of God, to immerse yourself into the word of God. Secondly, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 17. We talk about it all the time. If this don't hit the nail on top of the head, I don't know what's going to do it. It says, from a child thou hast understood the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, not some, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's for teaching. That's what the word doctrine means. For teaching. For reproof. That's going to change something. Look in there. Learn something. See yourself. Tell yourself the truth. Then reproof is going to bring about a change. For correction. Turn from the thing that you're doing. Don't just close the book and walk away and forget the thing that you just read. Correction. Correct it once you see it. It says, for instruction in righteousness. In righteousness. We have instruction. We're going about our lives every day with some instruction of what the world taught us is the way to do. If you want something, got to go make it happen. No, the Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow, Jesus said. It's the opposite of our instruction. So we need to learn the Bible is good for, all scripture is good for instruction in righteousness. We will learn how to live right through this Bible. How many people want to live right? You want to live right through this Bible. In righteousness. That the man, this is the sweetest part of all, verse 17. That the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to close on that. Let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Father. We ask and pray that your word went forth, that you were glorified in everything that was said, Father. We ask that every person and every heart and every soul and spirit in this place walks out of here and be not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of it. Take this word, Lord. Become students, Lord. Meditate on it day and night, that their lives may be changed, that all that are in this room and everyone they come in contact with become a servant of yours, Lord, submitting themselves unto you in every way, Lord. We thank you for it right now, Lord. We ask you to continue to bless the rest of this day, Lord. Keep us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.